We're continuing the shiur in the series of shiurim on the topic of simcha. This is a 22nd shiur on this topic, and we might complete the shiurim on Likutei Moran, on the Sefer Likutei Moran, which is Rabbi Nachman's magnum opus on this topic, and then we hope to continue on to the Likutei Halachos and Sipurei Maaseis and be able to try to get as much advice and guidance as we can on this topic, on Simcha, from the other Sforim and the other teachings of Rabbi Nachman and his students. This shiur is going to be based on chapters 33 and 34 in the second half of Likutei Moran. Rabbeinu Zal here bases it on a pasuk in Chumash, which tells us that when the Jews came out of Egypt, Yisroi, who was the father-in-law of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu had married his daughter Tzipporah, and Yisro was originally the Pope of Midian, Kohen Midian. And he was privileged to reject all of his idol worship and to come and join with the Jews in the desert, to come and convert. And the Torah tells us that when Yisro heard about the success of the Jews against the nation of Egypt, and the splitting of the Red Sea, and all the miracles that they experienced, the pasuk says, "Vayichad Yisroi al kol hatoiva." Now, the word "vayichad" has two meanings. In Hebrew, we have the word "chedva," which means to happiness, to be joyous, happy, and the word "chad" also means sharp. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, "Shenase besoroi chidudin chidudin," that his flesh became like he had goosebumps, as if there were needles pricking his flesh when he heard about this news. Rabbeinu Zal explains here that all different types of joy that a person experiences in this world are usually temporary. They're for a few minutes, or for a few hours, or for a few days at best. For example, a wedding. Person went to a wedding last night or a few nights ago, and they had a fabulous time. The music was great, the food was delicious, got to see all my friends, everything. As a wedding, on the list of weddings that I've attended, one of the finest. A few days later, it's just about out of the person's mind almost completely. And even if they remember it, they're remembering it like a vague memory, not as if they're actually experiencing the joy, the happiness that they had at that time. Or a bris, and a circumcision, even of one's own child. As happy as they are at the time, a few days later, a few weeks later, they're not holding on to that anymore. However, that's the physical aspects of the joy. However, if a person looks into the future, if a person looks ahead, Rabbeinu Zal says, and a person starts thinking that there's going to come a time, might be 5 years, 10 years, 50 years, when we're not going to be here. The pasuk, the famous pasuk in Koheles, Sof Adam Lamus, that the end of all of man is death. So if a person looks at that, if they look towards the end, then they're especially not so happy. Because even the things that I have now that I'm enjoying, whether it's physical things, materialistic things, my family, it's all going to come to an end. When I start thinking that there's going to come a time that my body is not going to be existing anymore, not going to be continuing, I'm going to be in a cemetery, a person thinks about that, not necessarily something that'll bring them to happiness. However, Rabbeinu Zal says, if a person looks past that end, to the soif of the soif, the end of the end, which means that we know that after a person dies, after the body is buried, there's a new beginning. If the person is privileged, if the person was zecher to lead the right kind of life, there's a whole new beginning of the ultimate life, the ultimate joy, the ultimate goodness. It's called Yom Shekulay Tov, a day that's wall-to-wall goodness, nothing bad, no bad whatsoever. So when a person looks at that, then they can be very happy. However, Rabbeinu Zal says, that addresses half of me. That addresses my neshama. My neshama, you're telling me that I'm comprised today of a body and a soul. And if I'm lucky, even when the body comes to an end and it's buried and it disappears, it disintegrates, food for the worms, and I'm being blunt intentionally, that afterwards the soul is going to have a wonderful, wonderful time. The soul is going to go to this incredible place and enjoy all the greatest joys and pleasure imaginable, even things we can't imagine or fathom right now. So regarding the soul, we can refer to death as something good, something wonderful. As we find, the Medrash says, when Hashem first created the world, that on one of the days of creation, it says, Hashem saw everything he had done, and it was good. It was toiv. So the Medrash says that refers to the good inclination. The following day, it says, Hashem saw everything he had created, and it was toiv ma'oid. It was very good. So the Gemara says, the Medrash says, toiv ma'oid, that's the angel of death. That refers to death. Death is very good. For whom is it very good? It's good for the neshama, for the soul. If a person lived the right kind of life, then for the soul, death is going to be a tremendous aliyas neshama, and the soul is going to be in a place that's wall-to-wall holiness, and Hashem, it's fabulous. What about the body? So the answer is, a person who is zeicha to live a real proper life in this world, so that's not only their soul that's connected to Hashem, but even their body. They've tried to use every inch of their body, from their toes to the top of their head, serving Hashem with every part of the body. My hair, the way I cut my hair, I cut it a certain way to conform with the Torah. I don't grow excessively long hair in front, in the place where I'd put on my tefillin, or excessively long hair in the back, like the priests used to do, like the galochim. I cut my hair exactly the way the Torah teaches me, and I do it before Shabbos, before Yontif. So even how my hair looks and how I grew my hair has mitzvahs all over the place. Not how much more so the openings in my head, the eyes, my ears, my nose, my mouth. Every inch of my body, the hands that I put the tefillin on, and how I use them, how I wash them in the morning, the first moment I get out of bed, I wash negelwasser. So a Jew who's really living the life of a tzaddik, we could understand by him, it's not just the neshama that's going to have a high, but even the body, because he was privileged to sanctify the body and to make sure that every part of the body was in sync with the neshama and was serving the neshama. So by such a person, even the body is something that's pure and holy, and the body will not pull him down in any way, will not bring any unhappiness. As David HaMelech says in Tehillim chapter 56, Beloikim botachti, I trust in Hashem completely, which means I'm totally 100% with Hashem, mayase boser li. What can my flesh do to me? What can my body do to me? Meaning, even my body can't get me down, can't pull me down, saying, oh, look what I have to look forward to. What are you talking about? Even you, body, have what to look forward to. Because of the fact that you supported the neshama so well, you are also going to experience a tremendous aliyah. And as the Pasuk says in Tehillim, in Kapitel Tezayim, Af besori yishkoin lavetach, even my flesh will lie undisturbed, secure, peaceful, happy. That a tzaddik is confident that even for the body, it's going to be very, very good. And to just go off on a tangent for a moment, but it's something that'll shed light on this. I remember hearing a shiur from Rav Rosenfeld, Zichrono Livracha, where he was speaking about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal and his students in the Zohar HaKadosh. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal gave his son, Rabbi Elazar, and his closest student, Rabbi Abba. At one point, he had such nachas from them. He was so pleased and satisfied with their advancement and everything that he said, you should know that you're going to be zeicha, that in heaven, you're going to be angels. Both of you are going to be angels in heaven. So the commentaries in the Zohar Kodesh ask, well, what do you mean? These greatest of tzaddikim are only going to be angels? We've been taught that tzaddikim are higher than angels, that in the future tzaddikim are going to have front row seats, much closer to Hashem than the angels, to the point where the angels are going to be asking the tzaddikim, what did Hashem say? What's Hashem doing? So that being the case, what did Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal mean? And one of the answers that's given is that he was referring to their bodies. Their souls, their neshamos, of course, are already on a higher level than angels. These greatest tzaddikim who are tanoim in the Gemara, while they were physically in this world, their souls were on a higher level than the angels. But what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal was telling these two tzaddikim, that they had achieved such greatness, such success in serving Hashem, that when they were going to pass away, their bodies were going to be elevated to the level of angels. So we see that a person who lives the right kind of life, even the body can share in the joy, even the body is not pulling down in any way and giving the person any reason to be down or to get down when thinking of the future. But the question is, what about a person who didn't live, who wasn't on that level, where they weren't zoiche to sanctify the body? We know that this is a constant battle. Each and every single one of us is battling every single day, every single hour, to try to purify every inch of our body and to try to keep them pure. Especially Rabbeinu Zal speaks about the Shivas Haneiros, the seven windows of the soul, the seven openings of the head, the eyes, the ears, the nostril and the mouth. Every single day, every single hour, we're being tested to see whether we're going to use them properly, whether we're going to sanctify them, or defile them, or ruin them, chas v'shalom, by looking at what we're not supposed to look at, by saying what we're not supposed to say, by eating what we're not supposed to eat, all these different things. So what about a person who wasn't privileged to sanctify and purify his body completely? Or, Rabbeinu Zal says, what about the example of a convert, a ger tzedek, where even though we know that in many ways, just like the Gemara tells us, b'mokoyim shebalei tshuva imdim, ein tzadikim gemurim mecholim lamoid, that a bal tshuva can achieve higher levels than a tzadik, than a person who's been religious their whole life, that pertains to the neshama, the soul. But a person who was born to parents, let's say, who did not keep the laws of taharas hamishpacha, they did not conduct themselves in purity, or the case of a convert who's coming from parents physically who are not Jewish at all, didn't have the mitzvah, you know, most of the vast mitzvahs of the Torah didn't apply to them in any way. So in his case, it's very, very difficult and very rare for the body to be able to be sanctified and purified and be up there together with the neshama. And this is why Rabbeinu Zal points out that by Yisroi, the pasuk says, Vayichad Yisroi al kol ha-toivo. Yisroi was happy, he rejoiced, al kol ha-toivo, because he went above all the toiv. He wasn't looking at the toiv, the goodness of the physical world, of the gashmius world. He was looking al kol ha-toivo, above, beyond all the pleasures of this physical world. He was looking, and he was looking even past death. He was looking at what happens past death, al kol ha-toivo, at the tachlis, the ultimate future, which is Gan Eden, which a person's soul will be zoche to if they led the right kind of life. However, the Gemara throws in this comment this comment that nase besoroi chidudin chidudin. However, his flesh experienced these needles, these goosebumps, because of the realization of how difficult it would be for him, for his body, to be able to experience the same joy and the same happiness as the neshama would experience in the future in Olam Haba. We believe, we certainly believe, that a person who is zoche to do everything they possibly can to live the right kind of life and to serve Hashem together with body and soul, and especially if the person is zoche to be attached to true tzaddikim, when we ask the tzaddik to be mispalel for us, or when we ask a tzaddik to do what he can do to effect a tikkun for us, to fix us, to improve us, to elevate us, we're not asking him just to work on our neshama, we're asking him to work on all of us, the neshama and the guf. And we hope and pray that we'll be zeche, that in actuality both of these, both our neshamos and the bodies, will share in the splendor of the reward, the ultimate rewards in Olam Haba. We know the Gemara says, for example, that when it comes to Hashem judging a person, Hashem puts the soul and body back together, because Hashem approaches the soul first and says, we have to talk to you. It's all kinds of sins that were committed. The soul says, Hashem, sorry, you got the wrong guy. I had nothing to do with any of the sins. It was him, the body. He was the one that was pulling in that other direction. My interest was only Kedusha, mitzvahs. Hashem goes to the body, and the body says, look, me? You're accusing me? Look at me. Can I do anything? I'm immobile. I'm dead. There's nothing to it. He's the guy. The neshama is the life. He's the one. Anything that happened, anything that we did, he was the one responsible. The Gemara says Hashem sees the situation, and this could be compared to a king who hires two watchmen to guard his vineyard, a blind person and a person who can't walk, a cripple. And he comes later and he sees that all the grapes are gone, and he approaches the blind person. He says, me, I can't even see anything. And he approaches the cripple. He says, I can't reach up there. And the king looks at the situation and he puts one and one together, and he knows that the chiger, the blind man, went on the shoulders of the blind, the person who couldn't walk went on the other one's shoulders. Together they did it, and he punishes them both together. So too Hashem in punishing and penalizing the body and soul. We hope and pray that we'll be zeicher, that if we really try to use every drop of blood in our bodies and every one of our limbs to serve Hashem, that we'll be zeicher to share. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Mibsori echse eloka, that a person can be zeicher from their flesh to be able to see Hashem. In other words, to be able to have the body share in the experience, in the performance of the mitzvah, semaisim toivim, and in addition, in the ultimate reward, as we saw in the case of these great tzaddikim, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Abba, that they were zeicha, that their bodies were elevated to the status of the highest of angels in heaven. The next chapter on Likutei Moran, chapter 34, this is one of the rare cases where Rabbi Nachman has two consecutive shiurim, both based on this same pasuk in the Chumash. Vayichad Yisroi al kol ha-toiva, and he offers a completely different explanation, again shedding some light on the topic of simcha, joy, happiness, how we can experience the highest level of happiness. Rabbeinu Zal says that by most people, even when they're experiencing something joyous and happy, it's based on one item or two items or sometimes even 10 things that they're enjoying, 10 individual things. And Rabbeinu Zal says, let's take, for example, a wedding. Again, a person goes to a fabulous wedding. They come in. First of all, it's a very hot, humid day in Bnei Brak. And they're all schwitzed up just from the time they walked from their car, their air-conditioned car, to the hall, the half a block. They're already all damp and moist. And they come into the hall and the air conditioning is blasting. And the person says, wow, it was worth coming just for this alone. Feel that air conditioning. And then they walk in and they see the place is lit up beautifully. And this person who's tired and broken from a whole day, a long, long day that they had, just the air conditioning and the lighting alone has healed 80% of their fatigue and depression, everything that they walked into the place with. Then they start smelling the smorgasbord or the other stuff, the stuff that's cooking in it. And wow, this is what I've been waiting for. And then they see their friends dressed up in their finest clothing and they hear the music starting up. And there's one, the person starts listing off one after another things that are going to contribute to a very, very happy night. I'm going to have a wonderful time enjoying the music, the lighting, the air conditioning, the food, the dancing, each one of these individual things. Rabbi Nassau points out, unfortunately, even in that type of simcha, sometimes you have people who, despite all of these things we described, aren't enjoying any of these things because they're of jealousy or hate. You know, they're not close to the people. They feel resentments or jealous feelings. And such a person, with all of these things going on, the person's not going to enjoy any of it, chas v'shalom, whatsoever. Then on the other hand, he says, you have the case of the parents of the groom, the parents of the bride, who usually, after the wedding's over, are asking each other, did you have a chance to eat anything? No, I didn't. Did you? No, I was busy with the guests, with the music, with the running around. I almost didn't see the food. What about the music? Were you paying attention? No. Because they're wrapped up. Their greatest joy is celebrating the fact that they finally, that this daughter of theirs, that they've been waiting for 18 years so patiently for her to finally take all of her dresses and clothing and get it out of it. There's their celebration. To them, the music, everything else is secondary. The real celebration for them is the fact that their daughter finally or their son finally found the right person and they're out. So Rabbi Nassau says you have all of these different examples, but what's similar about them is even a person who can appreciate each one of these individual things, they're appreciating them in that form as individual pieces of simcha. One over here, one over there, the music is one thing, this is one thing. They're all individual things. And at best, they can add up to 10, let's say 10 major items that they're enjoying. Whereas, Rabbi Nassau says, that cannot compare in any way to the kind of joy that a person could experience if they could put it all together, if they could unite all of these things. How do you unite all of these things? How do you make one? How do you make the music and the food and all of these things one? By looking above them, by looking at where is the pleasure, the joy that's in that music? Where is it coming from? Hashem. Hashem is the one who created the musicians and the musical instruments and gave these people the knowledge, the ability to generate these happy melodies, that beautiful sound and everything. The food, all the different things, everything that's taking place here is all a divine something that's coming from Hashem. It's coming from a oneness. This oneness, Hashem's goodness, the pasuk says in Tehillim, Toiv Hashem Lakoil. Hashem is good for all, meaning the goodness that we see in everything in this world, whether it's in lighting, in the colors and lighting, in the clothing, whether it's in the temperature, whether it's in the food, all the day, every example of good that we find in everything is all plugged into and all originating from one, from Hashem Echad. And if a person connects it all to there, if a person says, wow, I'm so happy that Hashem helped us get to this point to be able to be celebrating a simcha, and that Hashem gave us the Hashem, if when they're connecting it all to Hashem, They're connecting. They're making one out of all of these things. They're no longer individual, separate things. They're all part of a oneness. Then it has a factorial effect. It's not one and one is two, and two and one is three, and three. When things plug in together like that, they unite together. The Sefer Yetzira tells us, and the Zohar Kodesh speaks about it, and Rabbeinu Zal speaks about this, that it becomes one. One times one, plus two times two, plus three times three. It's called factorial in English, where each time you add a new piece to the equation, it goes up factorial. And it goes into the thousands and the millions and the billions quite quickly. When you add to the number one, you have like 18, you're in trillions already, you're going into... Rabbeinu Zal says, this is the kind of joy that a person who really believes in Hashem, and when they're experiencing something like this, they put it all together in the way that we're describing here, and they tie it all into its source, into that oneness, into Hashem, then a person can experience the highest possible joy. And this is what the Pasuk is telling us when it says, Vayichad Yisroi. Yisroi was joyous, chedva, happy, al kol ha-toiva, not with the toiv, not from the toiv, al kol ha-toiva, by looking above all the individual toiv, looking to the source of it all, where there it's all one. When a person is able to make one out of all the toiv, then the toiv is thousands or millions or billions of times more powerful than if a person doesn't have that. And this again is an example where a person who is zoche to believe in Hashem, to believe in the Torah, you can have two people eating at the same restaurant, two people eating a meal, and the rest of the meal is eight courses, and each individual course, let's say that this was a home run, every single course was great, the appetizer was delicious, the drinks were cold, and they gave me the right drink that I asked for, each and every individual dish was something that they enjoyed, etc. And they're experiencing and happy and everything. A person who doesn't believe in Hashem and doesn't tie it back to Hashem through their faith by making brachas on each and every individual they're eating before and after, and really appreciating, realizing where this is coming from. The fact that I'm alive and healthy and have the ability to eat and have the ability to see the food, to look at the food I'm eating. The Gemara says one of the main pleasures in eating is being able to see the food. The fact that all the different pieces that are being able to share and experience this is all out of Hashem's grace, Hashem's goodness. The one who doesn't have that, the maximum physical pleasure that they can experience, the highest they can aspire to, is a 5 or a 10, versus the person who has the emun in Hashem and is able to tie all these individual pleasures up to its source. Instead of 10, it can be 10,000 or 10 billion by making that yichud, that oneness, out of all of them. Interesting, we call a shul, a place, a house of prayer, a base tefillah, is also called a place of simcha, a joy. The pasuk says, v'simachtim v'havioisim el harkochi, v'simachtim b'veis tefilosi. Hashem says, I will give them joy and happiness in my house of prayer. Rabbeinu Zal points out in another place that this concept that we're expressing here, when you have... If you have 10 Jews in 10 rooms, and each one of them is praying with tremendous kavana, total dedication, devotion to Hashem, it's not a minyan. They can't say Kaddish, they can't say Kedusha. It's accomplishing something, but on a scale of 1 to 100, it could be a 5 or a 10, let's say, at best. Versus, if the 10 people get... This is even if you have 10 great tzaddikim, Avram Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu. Whereas if you have 10 ordinary Jews, get together in one room. They become one. They're united. They're in one place together. There are things they can do. They can say Kaddish, Baruch Hu. They can have Kriya Satorah. There's all kinds of things that they can do simply because of this oneness, this Achdus. Whereas these same exact people, if that oneness wasn't there, they were in individual places, they're totally locked out from major, major pieces of the effectiveness of the tefillah. One other item I'd like to mention in closing the shiurim on Likutei Moran, actually two short items. One is a short chapter on Likutei Moran, chapter 235, towards the end of the first half of Likutei Moran, where Rabbeinu Zal points out, we've mentioned in the past, that simcha is affected by time, joy and happiness. We have a Jew is required to be happy all the time. Mitzvah gedoyla liyos b'simcha tamid. However, there are occasions like Shabbos or Yontif where the obligation is even greater. And the joy, if the person is celebrating the Shabbos or the Yontif the right way, the joy will be multiple, multiple times greater than any joy they can experience on an ordinary day, a non-holiday. So Rabbeinu Zal points out that if a person is walking and they slip and fall, and there are people that see them fall, and we know, unfortunately, there are people like this, that when they see a person take a major spill, a major fall, instead of immediately feeling compassionate and feeling terrible about the pain and the embarrassment that the person experienced, there are people, sometimes kids or sometimes even immature adults, who will laugh. They'll laugh. They'll find it funny, humorous, in a sick kind of way, watching this person take this fall and splatter and drop the things they were holding. And the person is embarrassed by this experience. Rabbeinu Zal says that one of the reasons why this happens to a person is because the person did not show the proper joy and happiness when it came to a holiday, when it came to a chag. We know that in the Torah, holidays are referred to as regolim, shalosh regolim, the three holidays, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. They're related, associated with the feet, the legs. And another name for a holiday in the Torah is moed. The holidays are called the moedim, moedim l'simcha. And therefore, a Jew who does not celebrate the holiday properly, and the Torah tells us celebrate the holiday properly means bathing properly before the holiday, going to the mikveh before a holiday, grooming oneself extra nice for a holiday, taking a haircut before the holiday, buying special clothes to show respect for the holiday, buying special foods, all the different laws that make up the simcha, the joy of the holiday. The person who is lacking in this, what happens is, instead of the holiday, which is called regel and moed, it becomes regel muad. The feet go out of whack, the feet go out of place, and it results in the person falling. And that unpleasant laughter that the person sees, people laughing at them in a way, at the person's embarrassment and shame, that's the joy and happiness that the person was supposed to express with the holiday. The fact that they didn't do it, that joy and happiness is expressing itself in this sick type of laughter. People who are finding it funny to see how this person fell and was embarrassed and hurt themselves. And the shame and embarrassment that the person's experiencing, we know the Gemara says that a person who insults the holidays, it's as if they worshipped idols, chas v'shalom. The Gemara says this in Psochem, Daf Kuf Yud Ches. And therefore, this is why the person is experiencing shame and embarrassment specifically, because because of the fact that Avodah Zorah is referred to as boishes, as something shameful. The idols are referred to as something shameful. And Rabbein Azal points out, sometimes the fact that the person had that happen to them, that itself will atone and forgive completely for the lack of simcha that the person had on the holiday. Other times, it will not forgive, but rather it's simply Hashem's way of reminding the person, pulling on the person's sleeve to let them know, you should know that you were lacking in this area, go back and correct it. The next time a chag comes, make sure that you show the proper respect for the chag by enjoying it, and that joy being expressed in the manners that we mentioned. And in this way, you'll be able to rectify completely, to correct this thing, and have the opposite of a fool, have the tekuma, to stand up properly. With this, we pretty much conclude all the different areas in Likutei Moran that Rabbein Azal speaks about the topic of Simcha. And Yitz Hashem, we hope to continue going into the Likutei Halachos, the Sipurei Maaseis, the other Sforim, and discussing all the Chidushim, all the interesting points that Rabbein Azal, Rav Nosson Zal teach us about exactly how to be happy to the fullest sense. Should be zecha by learning about this, and especially by asking Hashem the way Rabbein Azal taught us, that everything we learn about, to convert it to tefillah, to plead with Hashem that we should be able to understand what we learned properly and be able to apply it in our lives correctly, bezecha through true simcha, to the fulfillment of ki besimcha seitzeyun, to be able to go out of all of our pain, suffering, anxiety, tzoros, and on an individual level and on a collective level, to be zecha to exit from this painful exile, the golus, and be zecha to celebrate the coming of Moshiach, the Binyan Beis Hamikdash, Meher Yameinu, Amen V'Amen.